You're listening to the Climbing Higher radio broadcast with Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. of Bethel Deliverance International Church, a place where miracles still happen.
There is a moment in all of our lives when we must come face to face with the reality that we are playing church. We have leaned on the arm of flesh so long that we find it now almost impossible to trust God. Our prayers are laced with the accumulation of riches. We want more materialistic things. Some are even frustrated that their income tax returns are not the way they used to be. We have allowed ourselves to become what we behold, and now we can't break the cycle of fleshly living. The intimacy with God has been replaced by the desire for position, popularity, and fame. In short, it is the church of Ephesus in Revelation chapter 2 all over again. The church has done more to divorce the members, the body, from the Christ of the church than any other devil could ever do. We have focused on the things that are temporal rather than the things that are eternal. Our preachers are worried so much about preaching in pulpits and across America that they've forgotten how to preach to their next door neighbor, whose child may be strung out on drugs and husband or wife may be an alcoholic, and yet we turn up our noses so that we may make it to church on time. Why has God strategically placed us in areas throughout our lives with people who are broken, destitute of hope, who find themselves wondering if God really exists? Truth be told, 60% of us in this room today question the authenticity of the divinity of Jesus Christ. If God does not give me the man I want, the woman I want, the car that I fasted for, then something's wrong with my theology. Against this backdrop, 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 and 18 in the King James says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin with us, then what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear?" The Living Bible says it in this way, "For the time has come for judgment, and it must begin first among God's own children. And if we who are Christians must be judged, what terrible fate awaits those who have never believed in the Lord? And if the righteous are barely saved, then what chance will the godless have?" The NIV says, "For it is time for judgment to begin with the family of God. And if it begins with us, what will the outcome be for those who do not obey the gospel? And if it is hard for the righteous to be saved, what will become of the ungodly and the sinner?" And this is where Pentecostal theology often does a disservice to the text. The judgment that is listed here in the King James is not speaking of hellfire, brimstone, nor is it talking about the lake of fire as the final judgment. But what Peter is trying to suggest to us, based on the exegesis of his message, is that the time has come for the church to look at their lives and question their motives. They need to understand that what they're doing must be Christological and not fleshly. Someone once said that there are two churches in the world, the church that the Lord built and the church that we built. You will find distinguishable differences between the two. One is focused on the exaltation of Christ. The other is focused on the lifting of people. One is focused on getting the gospel out. The other is focused on entertainment and bringing the gospel in. And so here in the 21st century, we find ourselves preaching to the reached, healing the healed, blessing the blessed, and bringing the gospel to those who are already saved. While outside of our doors, those who long for the light of the glorious love of God, those who wonder just who Jesus really is, are laying around in a sinful existence trying to make sense out of their rapidly decaying life. How could God not send them help? How could the light of the world extinguish said light from those who are walking in darkness? My brothers and sisters, I suggest to you today that it is time for us to reevaluate our position and to ask the hard question, do I really love God? For the time of judgment has come to the church, once again, not to cast you into hellfire, but to cause you to evaluate your life. Are you going through the motions of Christianity? Are you mechanically lifting your hands and just doing it for the 3 hours or so that you are in this building? But does this thing resonate in your daily life? If I were to bring your supervisors in, your next door neighbors, your family members, and in some cases, your spouse, and have them give a testimonial of your Christian existence, how many of us would say, Pastor, please don't call my supervisor because I have not been a fair representative of Christ? I will tell you now, in Pentecostal fashion, that God has grown weary of all of the foolishness that we've been bringing him. I think God has been maligned and misunderstood. I think God has been falsely accused for the problems that we are experiencing. If not God, then the devil. For the word of the Lord teaches us that this judgment that's beginning with us simply means that you and I must now begin to prune the tree. And those things that we've embraced for the last 10 or so years are now coming to a place where we must cast them out of our lives. What's happened to us that we no longer feel the presence of God, not just in church, but in the midst of difficult situations? When one goes back to the book of Daniel, you are encountered by 4 young men who are pulled into Babylonian captivity along with everyone else. One of the things that a conquering nation would do, it would take your God, it would take your identity, it would take your language and cause you to become what they are. Nebuchadnezzar had sent out his messengers and they had brought in some young men whom they thought would serve the king with a good heart. And among the 4 was a man named Daniel and his 3 companions, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. When they brought these boys together, they immediately passed their first test because they refused to eat the meat that was offered to idols. And so Daniel spoke, and their first test was to separate themselves from the custom of the time, was to inform the leadership that we will not be what everyone else is. They said, we can't bring ourselves to eat this food. And so the Bible says they ate only the vegetables. The King James says the pulse, the vegetables. They ate the collard greens and the turnip greens. And they had no broccoli or asparagus or cauliflower because that's offered to idols. And so they ate the good vegetables. And the Bible says when the king's servant came back, their skin was better than anyone else's. They were more healthy in their physical appearance. And they knew that there was something about the God of these young men. Well, later on, as time progresses, Nebuchadnezzar decides, like most narcissistic people, that he had to have something to really push who he is to the people. And so he had this giant image created that the people would now fall down and worship in compliance with Nebuchadnezzar. But there were 3 young men who, the Bible says, when they heard the music, they were instructed to fall down and worship this image. But these 3 men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, said, we will not bow down. It appears that there has been some consultation, that there has been some fellowship and communication between one another. And they decided that they would not bow down at great peril to their own lives. They determined that even if God does not deliver us, what's the worst that could happen? We would simply die. Can you imagine the anger in Nebuchadnezzar? Can you imagine the anger in those that were in his court that these three young men would have the guts to stand up and say, we defy what you are trying to get us to do? Nebuchadnezzar was so angry that he commanded the fire to be heated 7 times hotter than it had previously been. They grabbed these three young men and just threw them into the fire. And the Bible said their hands were tied. I could never understand why they tied their hand. They're throwing them into fire. Where do you think they're going to go? It's almost like America saying there is no God, but they won't let our children pray. If there is no God, then what are you afraid of? Let them pray to nothing. Oh, let me move on now. And so they threw them in, and the moment they enter into this fiery pit, so to speak, Jesus steps in. And the fire burns off the ropes, but it doesn't burn them. You see, God is saying, if you don't bow, you won't burn. You see, when the world confronts us and tells us that we cannot read our Bibles in public, how many of us will put our Bibles down and grab our phone? Will we lose the courage to stand up and be what God has made us to be? Or have we become so worldly that we're ashamed of Jesus? The Bible says that Nebuchadnezzar had to see what was going on. There were no screams. There was no plea. There was no plea for mercy. He wondered what was going on. Somehow, I don't quite know the architecture of this fiery furnace, but somehow he was able to get a glimpse on the inside. What he saw caused him to question his sanity. He turned to his court and said, did we not throw in three? But now I see four. And this is the thing that I don't know. Maybe you're not as pragmatic as me, but I wonder how he made the next declaration. He said, and the fourth one looks like the Son of God. How can someone who does not know our God recognize when he stands up? Brothers and sisters, the world will recognize our God every time he feeds you when you're hungry, every time he cares for you when you're alone, every time he heals your body. The world will know that Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible says that the pit was open, the door was open, and the three came out. And the scripture says there was not even the smell of smoke on them. When God delivers you, he delivers you. You do not hold on to your neurotic behavior when God delivers you. When God delivers you, you don't need that broken down man that brought you into sin. You don't need that hard-headed person who's pulling you into disobedience. When God delivers you, there's not even the smell of your past life on you. When he delivers you, I'm sure word got around Babylon like a match to a pile of hay. Did you hear about those four boys? Did you hear how they stood against the king? Daniel lasted through Nebuchadnezzar's reign, through Belteshazzar's reign. Then came Cyrus and Darius. And they still wanted to get rid of Daniel, even though Daniel had an excellent reputation. He was in Babylon, but he was not of Babylon. And so they tried to concoct a way to have Darius jail Daniel or get him out of the way, because Daniel's offense was that he prayed. Is there anyone in here that would be guilty of excess prayer? Is there anyone in here that would be guilty of too much Bible reading, of showing too much love, or better yet, I'm guilty of too much forgiveness? Is there anyone in here that's guilty of giving God too much praise? And so the court of Darius figured a way to bring Daniel down. So they influenced the leader to initiate a law that says there'll be no praying to anyone other than the gods of the Medes and the Persians. And the Bible said Daniel opened up the window to pray. Go ahead, Daniel. He must have been a Marine. Daniel opened up the window and prayed out the window. And somebody heard him. And they ran back and told the king, but they didn't tell the king who it was. They said, there's a man that's still praying, even though you forbade it. He said, well, you know the punishment. Throw him into the lion's den. So they grabbed hold of Daniel to take him to be lunch. Daniel didn't know the Lord had dispatched an angel. The angel got into the lion's den before Daniel did. He said, all right, all of you, come over here. And the lions were growling and roaring, but when the angel stepped in, they started whimpering because they had never seen anybody so strong. The angel said, all right, now listen up. Somebody's coming in here that belongs to Jehovah. If you just show your teeth, you're going to lose them. I'd advise all of you to just lay down and purr like kittens. They just bowed and said nothing else. They opened the doors and threw Daniel in, and every lion in there lay down, because when the anointing is on you, no weapon formed against you will ever prosper. And if God has designed something for you, no devil out of the pit can ever take it from you. This is why our praise is glorious. This is why we are jubilant, because we are already winners. When the world says we lose, we win anyway. When Daniel was in that pen of lions, that den of lions, Darius couldn't sleep. When the sun came up, he ran down to the den. They said, Majesty, where are you going? He said, I've got to see what happened to my friend. They opened the door and said, Daniel, was your God able to keep you? He said, O king, live forever. He said, my God has sent his angel to shut the lion's mouth. Every one of you in here, whether you know it or not, you are in the lion's den. You are in the lion's den because Satan is trying to kill you. He is trying to wipe out your family. But God has acted on your behalf before you even got into the furnace. God is already there. The love of Jesus constrains us. And according to the Apostle Paul in Romans 8, nothing can separate me from the love of God. The king, he walks out of the lion's den with Daniel, and he turns and says, now everybody that accused him, throw him in there. Believe me, the angel had left at that time, and everyone that accused Daniel was now lunch. Brothers and sisters, it is time for us to show the world that our God is alive. They must know that his power is real and that his love has no end. But we've become what we beheld. We've become like the church at Corinth. We have allowed ourselves to slip into lifestyles that are injurious to our Christian experience. We have allowed the hateful things of our past to impede our present, so we do not have a significant future. We have held on to hurts and things that have happened to us so that we cannot move forward because we are stopped by the things of our past. And like so many in the world today, we've become Ahab and we married a Jezebel. And I'm not speaking literally about marrying someone. I'm speaking parenthetically about joining with someone. When Peter says that judgment begins at the house of God, what is he saying? Discipline. The word is better translated discipline. Discipline must begin at the house of God. Discipline must begin with us. Satan continues to throw things at us that cause us to live undisciplined lives. Our flesh just runs our existence. We know we've had enough after 5 buffalo wings. But what causes you to reach for the 12th, the 13th, the 50th? What causes you to sit down the street at Golden Corral for the 21st plate? What causes you to jump from relationship after relationship? How many times do you get married before you discover it's not for you? We are void of discipline, even in our religious expressions. We refuse to allow God to humble us. And so we become like the world. We wonder why the power of God does not flow as liberally as it did in the 50s and 60s. Since the word says that God doesn't change, then we must, by right of that theology, state that Satan doesn't change either because he's spirit. Then who has changed? I would suggest to you that we have changed. We're no longer seeking God. We're seeking position.
We pray that you were blessed and encouraged by the message you heard today. To order today's message, call 215-885-2585. When ordering, refer to the program title,
The Purpose of the Church,
or the program number
03319A.
If you'd like to view the Climbing Higher daily telecast, tune in to WBPH-TV on Comcast Cable, Monday through Friday at 7:30 a.m. Please check your local cable listings for the channel number in your region. To stream Bethel Sunday services live, visit BethelDeliverance.org or download the Bethel Deliverance app on iTunes or Google Play. We stream live on Sundays beginning at 8:15 a.m. and 12 p.m. You're also invited to join us in person by attending any of our Sunday services taking place at 7:30 a.m., 11:30 a.m., and 6 p.m. at our main sanctuary located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, PA. For more information about Bishop Lambert and Bethel Deliverance International Church, follow us on social media through Facebook and Instagram, or contact us at 215-885-2585. Thank you for tuning in today. Keep climbing higher in the Word of God.
The Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches invites all women to Women's Conference 2019. Daughters of the King, wear your crown, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Come and join us for 2 days of praise, worship, and life-empowering workshops from dynamic speakers. Joining us on Friday evening at 7 o'clock p.m. will be Evangelist Joyce L. Rogers, founder of Primary Purpose Ministries Incorporated of Carlton, Texas. On Saturday, beginning at 8:30 a.m., there will be a special panel discussion featuring the women's pastors of Bethel Deliverance International Fellowship of Churches. The mid-morning and afternoon sessions will be facilitated by guest presenter, Pastor Latera Ruffin from the Life Empowerment Church of Moreno Valley, California. All sessions will be held in the sanctuary of Bethel Deliverance International Church, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Winco, Pennsylvania. The deadline to register is Friday, May 3rd. Registration is available online at BethelDeliverance.org. For more information, call 215-885-2585. That's 215-885-2585. Ladies, don't miss this uplifting time of praise, worship, and life-transforming teaching from anointed women of God, Friday, May 17th and Saturday, May 18th. Plan to join us and register today.
Plan now to join Bishop Eric A. Lambert Jr. in Bethel Deliverance International Church as we celebrate Jesus our King. Come out for our Good Friday service on Friday, April 19th at 1 o'clock in the afternoon as we observe the price that Jesus paid for our sins. 2 days later, we'll gather again for our Resurrection Day services as we lift up our risen Savior on Sunday, April 21st at 6 a.m. and 10 a.m. All services will take place in Bethel's main sanctuary, located at 2929 West Cheltenham Avenue in Wincote, Pennsylvania. So come out and celebrate the sacrifice of our glorious King Jesus.